First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Truer words were never spoken. You cannot have freedom without the freedom of expression. You can't have freedom without a free market. You can't have freedom if you've got one political side trying to shut down the other, no matter how much they disagree. So we've got a lot of political tactics happening today, and attacks on one side versus the other, but it sort of seems always to be from one side. That doesn't mean I have any love for people with R's after their names, but let me comment quickly on a news item which you may or may not have heard, depending on how you're listening to the our show, Spouting Off. And that is that there was a news item that marijuana is, they're cracking down on illegal marijuana products in New York City because, gee, you know, the government doesn't know what's in it. The government doesn't know what's in it. And thank you to my, I appreciate it. I have a dog that was scratching at the door, distracting me. They don't usually do that. They just sit here quietly. But sometimes puppies are dying to get out of the office, out of the broadcast studio, and there he goes. Thank you. I think in my old age, I'm developing OCD or ADD or one of those Ds. I'm not sure which. Marijuana. So let's see. The minute you legalize marijuana in a state, and I have very libertarian views on many of these things, I know and watched firsthand the way that Colorado deteriorated drastically after the legalization of marijuana. Does that mean that I think it should be a felony to use marijuana? No, of course not. I want the government out of it. Unfortunately, the legalization of marijuana has been the license for governments to get in it. How about that? So if you were listening to the news item, you probably heard how they're cracking down on illegal marijuana joints, but it isn't because they're cutting it with stuff. Because the free market, if they did that, they wouldn't be able to sell it. And that's just how the free market works, regardless of how much the government involves itself. What they're doing is they don't want the competition of illegal marijuana. They want to be in charge of it. Why? Because the government usually is the biggest pusher of all. Sad but true. So without going into a lot of details, because I have a lot of other stuff in on my plate that I want to mention, if you don't like big government, do not legalize marijuana. It's counterintuitive. Legalization of marijuana gives the government a right to tax up the wazoo, a whole nother income stream for the government. And decriminalize it, sure. But the minute you legalize it, it gives them the right to regulate it, to charge tons and tons of taxes, and to sell marijuana to the public under the guise that it's what people want. It's kind of like when the government got involved with other vices. Not that I'm advocating that this become legal, I mean illegal too, but when the government gets involved in stuff, voila, the government gets huge. And our government right now, the feds, and really all of it, but the feds in particular, are so massive, so out of control, that they still have to, tax you for a $10 interest payment to your bank account. And they're going to be looking to see if you spent more than $600 on on something so they can tax that too. That's a government that's desperate for money. And now we've got the budget arguments going on in Washington, D.C. Biden virtue signaling, saying, I'm going to put my foot down. No debt ceiling, as if that is somehow morally superior to making the government live within its means. They haven't been living within their means for decades on end. All right, so let's shift gears here because there's something I've been dying to talk about. I see these stories on my Twitter feed, which, by the way, is getting a little bigger now that Elon Musk has taken the straitjacket off Twitter. I don't have a huge number of followers, but my followers were absolutely stopped and frozen at a certain number. And the minute Elon Musk came along, suddenly I'm, you know, growing followers again, like from the very beginning. And it's like started, it hasn't started over, but I'm sure that my Twitter account was being censored because nothing ever changed. That being said, so on Twitter, I see a little audio that's like 17 seconds long, maybe 15 seconds. And thanks to Art for pulling this audio up because I want you to hear it. We may play it once or twice just so you can hear it because it goes really quickly. Let's hear Gavin Newsom tell you about drugs, apropos of just what we were talking about. Just because it's legal doesn't mean you should do it. Does that mean that whatever is legal, you should go out and do? Or should we have a moral compass, you know, an individual moral compass? That being said, let's hear what Gavin Newsom has to say.
Clean and sober is one of the biggest damn mistakes this country's ever made. I know it's a hold-your-hand idealistic point of view that somehow magically, I mean, God bless some of you. If you're like me, I've been known to have a glass of wine at night watching some of the nightly news. We all need to self-medicate periodically.
There are so many lies in that 14-second clip. It is astonishing. Astonishing. So he says, clean and sober is the biggest damn lie there ever was. Clean and sober, the biggest damn mistake this country ever made. Now, to be fair, I will give you the context. Well, the propaganda media never does give you the context. Now, he was talking about clean and sober in the context of homeless people being housed in government housing, that clean and sober, that it was required that homeless people be clean and sober in order to qualify for getting government housing. He's saying it was the biggest damn mistake this country ever made, right? I just thought, you know, it's awe-inspiring that these are the people that want to tell us how to live when they don't know how to live themselves. I don't care one iota if Gavin Newsom has a drink with wine, a drink of wine with his dinner at whatever restaurant. He didn't have to wear a mask, but required everyone else to. This is a supreme hypocrite. That being said, if one glass of wine or even a couple of glasses of wine turns you into drunk and dirty, then you have a problem. So he is furious that clean and sober is actually a requirement for getting the largesse of the taxpayers. Now, having been a social worker, and sometimes it's kind of like a Marine, once a social worker, always a social worker. The dirty little secret, the clean and dirty, the drunk and dirty little secret is that the greatest majority of homeless people either have severe addiction problems. They're not just having wine with dinner, okay? They have severe addiction problems or they're mentally ill. And when the left deinstitutionalized all the mental patients in the 70s and then blamed the homelessness on Ronald Reagan, who didn't have anything to do with that per se. Well, once again, it was a problem the left created, but would take no responsibility for. Now, again, as a social worker, mental health issues are profound. They have nuances. And that's a whole other topic. I don't like to make broad, brash generalizations when a subject is well-nuanced and complicated, right? You don't just brashly deinstitutionalize all mental patients. You also don't brashly institutionalize people without really doggone good reasons, like if they are a danger to themselves or others. Today, the mental health field, like so many other fields, have been really intruded upon and corrupted by politics. You'd be hard-pressed to find very many simply traditional or conservative therapists today. But that being said, if it's okay to drink as much as you want, to have no requirements whatsoever, to deserve to be housed by the taxpayer, then what is somebody like Gavin Newsom saying? He's saying no standards, no boundaries, no rules whatsoever. Just let us have these drug addicts live and feed off the largesse of working Americans who do at least try to have standards and try to be accountable for their behavior. Not to require some kind of accountability. It's kind of like you living in your mother or father's basement and saying, I have a right to live there indefinitely, and you have no right to make any laws or rules upon me. I mean, this is a dismantling of every kind of standard or principle that there is. I'll tell you what else it is. It's the Cloward-Piven strategy, right out of Columbia School of Social Work, where I went to school. And Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven, if you've ever heard of them, one of them was at the school when I was there. They believe in destroying the system so you can remake it with yourself and the communists in charge. So if you just destroy the system, baby, then we can have a communist system. That's what's going on. So much more to talk about. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our first guest. You're listening to Spouting Off here. I'm Karen Cataline. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret? is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We're just raring to go. We're getting started here. You can always find Spouting Off at www.wsmn.live. That is the place you can hear it live every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And then there are lots of other places after the fact that you can hear our show, including at my website, KarenCataline.com. Well, we are ready to welcome our very first guest. His name is Stephen Hayes, and he's appeared on hundreds of radio and television shows, numerous articles published in newspapers and magazines, and he regularly speaks to groups of citizens around the country about why we must eliminate the income tax and the IRS. I bet you love that. Although he does advocate something called a national retail sales tax. We'll have to talk to him about that. He's testified before the House Ways and Means Committee, and he's former Congressman Jack Kemp's Tax Reform Committee, widely sought after on this subject on all kinds of tax reform panels, and we've got him right now. Welcome, Stephen Hayes, to Spouting Off.
Karen, it's great to be with you again. I always enjoy it a lot.
Well, I enjoy it, too. And it's so funny, in the intro to having you on, it says something about Newsom chasing people fleeing California. And in our first segment, I went after Gavin Newsom, who some people that I read call him Gruesome Newsom, for advocating that clean and sober is one of the dumbest policies ever. And so now he's chasing. Let's just start with that. How is Gruesome Newsom chasing people to flee California? If you leave California, how long do you have to be harassed by the state of California to pay them money?
Well, if you see, his wealth tax is a whole different thing. It's a new thing. I mean, I say his, the one that's been introduced, which he's going to support, which basically says that each year, each resident of California, it's similar to what some of the senators were advocating, you know, and basically in the U.S., but basically it's a thing where you value your assets and base your wealth, if you've had appreciation in your stocks and all, you're going to pay a tax, and it's, I think, 1 to 1.5%. It's debated. You know, they talk about different numbers. But you're going to pay a tax, and supposedly it starts at $1 billion, then it goes to $50 million, and pretty soon it'll be $100,000 in California, because they never found any excuse for any citizen of California keeping a dime of their own money that the people there spend better. So it's going to happen. And what this means is, if you have appreciation, and let's say you have a a bunch of stock and a house that appreciates, and you're in that category, because again, it's going to go down from 50 million to very low, probably a million before very much longer. You're supposed to pay a tax of 1%, let's just say. So let's say you had $1 million of assets, you're supposed to be paying them 1% of that, which would be 10 grand. And for whatever reason, you know, you're retired and you don't really have a lot of income and it's a problem, you can apply to them to defer it. And you have to even keep deferring it. Now, if you leave California, here's where his particular bill, if you leave California the way it's proposed, they can come after you to pay any unpaid taxes from their point of view. So it's a very pointed way of going after you. But see, California has been doing this for a long time. I personally, Karen, I may have talked to you about this, maybe not, but I moved to Florida. I escaped in 2006 from California.
From California.
Okay. And I came to Florida. I had a law practice in California, which I closed. And I hadn't practiced in California from 2006 on. I was licensed in Florida. And I'm sitting around, and this was about 2 years ago. I receive a notice from California that says, final notice, we're getting ready to file liens on all your property. And they named the property.
Wow. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, what is this about? And I read it, and it was because they said that I made, in the year 2012, I think $150,000 in my law company.
Yeah.
Which wasn't even in existence, by the way. But that I made that money, and I owed initially, I think it was $12,000 in tax, and with interest and penalty, it was almost $20,000 now. And so, and they demanded it, or they put a lien on. So I try to call them. Can't get anybody on the phone, obviously. Called one of my friends in California that still does some tax work with the state, and he gave me a behind-the-scenes number, you know, and I called. And even that took like 45 minutes to get somebody. And the woman came on, and I told her the situation, you know, like, how'd you get this number type kind of attitude. And I just said, well, here's my situation. Told it to her, explained what seems to be pretty obvious to you and I, Karen. I'm not, you know, I
oh,
couldn't
that
have made
nothing,
the money because
yeah.
I wasn't there. Yeah.
Okay.
And
please cut to
and
the chase because you got me on the edge of my seat, and I got a
all
lot
right,
of other
I'm
questions.
All right, I'm sorry. So this
you.
Went on and
that's
on and
okay.
on. I got another notice that it was handled, and then I got another notice of lien. I finally talked to them, and they finally dropped it.
Okay, but what was the principle was that you hadn't paid the deferred taxes, is that right?
I hadn't. No, not the deferred. The earned income taxes. They said they didn't have a deferred situation there. They said that. I made money in California, and I didn't report it.
And you didn't report it. Okay.
But
there
I didn't
is
make
a Right? You didn't make the money,
I wasn't
right?
there.
So they did that even though you hadn't even been living there at the time.
Not for
See,
6 years, and the company had been closed for 3.
Gonna happen again and again, I think. You know, we're just watching all those terrible tax commercials coming on television. The minute the new year happens,
yes.
everybody has to start thinking about the doggone taxes. And is it just quickly, is it a misconception that California at least is going to try that if you move away from California, they're going to give you some penalty for having moved, kind of like escaping East
happens,
Germany over a wall and trying to get to
similar.
West Germany, kind of like that?
It's similar because I've had clients who moved from California because they wanted to escape. And a year or two later, had a sale of a business, California tried to tax it.
Of course. Of course, because the business was in California.
It's not new that they're out there reaching. They are broke. They're desperate for money.
Yeah.
And that's why they're trying to grab any money they can get, Karen. And
we
know. It's a problem that's going to get worse and worse because economies that are run as poorly as California's economy by their state government are never going to have the money they need. They can't borrow enough to oversee, you know, overcome their problems.
We know, Stephen, that California and Colorado, for that matter are like little petri dishes for what they want to do to the rest of the country, if they can get away with it. I want to switch over to this federal, to replacing the federal income tax with a national sales tax. That just gives me the chills right up the back of my neck when you say that, because, you know, I can just imagine some of our listeners and myself included say, don't give them any ideas because they'll keep the IRS. They'll keep income tax. They'll never get rid of it. And a national sales tax will just be that on top of everything else, including a consumption tax and a federal whatever. You name it, they'll tax it.
And you're totally correct. That is exactly what they will do if we let them get away with it.
Right.
There's a centered, you know, there's a bill that was introduced by Ben Cardin, who's a very liberal senator from Maryland, which was a sales tax until you made $100,000. And he had asked me to come see him because it was the fair tax for the first $100,000. Mm-hmm. Income over $100,000 paid an income tax, and then he was going to have a VAT for corporations. So value-added tax, just like in
Thank
Europe.
You.
And
Thank
so
you for mentioning
that's
that.
That's a Democrat. Yeah. That's a liberal Democrat.
Correct.
So exactly what your people are afraid of. So the only way that the fair tax, which is a retail sales tax, makes sense is if we are moving to get rid of the income tax, pull it out by its roots, as Bill Archer used to say, and throw it away. Because uh-huh. that is the only solution to not having an income tax. And then you have to repeal the 16th Amendment, but repeal it in a way that forbids them imposing an income tax. Because the decision not to have an income tax in 1894 was 5-4. The reason they had to have the amendment. And today, do you think the people in the court would not approve something for the government like that? So have the amendment that really limits it. But
they would never
allow
it.
You've got a situation that's terrible right now.
And so we're talking to Stephen Hayes, a proponent of the fair tax bill. And in the current environment where we're hanging on to liberty by the skin of our teeth, and it's only because the Republican House had to be strong-armed, in my humble opinion, into defunding the 88,000 IRS agents that the left wants to tax working people that they claim they love so much. How in the world could anything like this ever pass to repeal and get rid of the income tax and have a national sales tax, consumption tax?
The only, only way, Karen, is if people like you, your listeners, demand it. Because D.C. never thought we'd ever come to a vote. They never thought anybody would threaten their income source and their, and I'm talking about the D.C. elite, who use it to sell favors. They use it to control us. Nobody thought that it would ever come up for a vote to get rid of it because it's been so lucrative for so long. And it's so many people are supported by it in D.C.
I hate to be so argumentative. But they haven't been listening to the people yet, ever since COVID, when people said, you know what? Wearing a rag on my face, a slave rag on my face, is not going to protect me. No, I don't believe that you should be able to force somebody to take an experimental shot. They weren't listening then. I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm being a little cynical.
Well, Karen, whose fault is that? Let's be really blunt.
I don't know.
It's the fault
be
of
blunt.
The people that reelect these idiots every year, every 2 years and every 6 years. If we don't we need to change the people. Because
elections are fair enough to be able to do that. We do not know. I have no evidence otherwise, but we do not know. A lot of people are beginning to wonder how fair our elections are. In fact, it was the left that were wondering that long before we did, when they didn't think Al Gore and whatever were fair. Right now, as we speak, Kevin McCarthy and the presidential potted plant, namely Joe Biden, are about to discuss the debt ceiling And Joe Biden is virtue signaling about how he's going to dig his heels in about no debt ceiling at all, because that's the right thing to do. Your comments on that one.
Well, you got to remember, A, it's not him. Whoever's pulling the strings is saying that. But number two, a lot of the people in the Biden White House come from a school of the modern economic theory, which is a theory that it wasn't modern, it's early 1900s, but says that deficits don't matter. You just use any money you need as long as it's for the public good. And the only purpose of taxes is inflation. That's the theory. And a lot of those guys support it. They believe that, you know, look at us. We grew our deficit from when Reagan was president. Look how much we grew it. We didn't have any inflation. Well, that's largely because of the way the money supply increase was very gradual. And they flooded the money supply during the COVID thing, during all of that. But basically, his group doesn't honestly believe that deficits matter. So therefore,
so you said the purpose
of taxes, all of us
is
have Christmas every day.
Yeah, of course. It works in our home budgets, doesn't it? I think it works great. So the purpose of income tax is to control inflation, really?
That's it. Yeah, it doesn't mean they fund the government. It means, if you read the books on it, it's very clear. Mm. There are several books out by people who advised Biden when he was in the Senate that were on the Democrat Financial Committee, as you know, economic advisors. And it's very clear that's what they believe. So if you look at it from that point of view, I think it's demented, honestly. I think it's not looking at reality. But
I think it's a way for them to pay off their political buddies and justify it. How about that? That's what I think.
it's a lot of it that, because it's okay if we lose $300 million on a boondoggle.
Yeah.
Because it's just borrowed money. It never has to be repaid. Yeah. It's like, it's okay. We don't have to be very strict with our money. It's okay.
No, it's the government. We can print it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Have to run. So, Stephen Hayes, tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, and learn more about Fair Tax.
Karen, it's great as always. Fairtax.org. Just go to fairtax.org. You'll find out how it works. You'll find out also if you like the idea to join us. Don't let the enemy be the perfect of the good. Let's get rid of the bad and go to the Fair Tax.
You
Thanks
make
so much,
talking
Karen.
About taxes fun, and that's quite a feat. Thank you, Stephen Hayes, for joining us. We appreciate it. Well, we've got to take a quick break. We got another great guest. We're going to talk about Ukraine. Right after this. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And I got something to tell you, and I don't think that you like it very much.
It's not a Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. It is great to have you with us. Well, we have our next guest on the line right now, and I suspect we might have some disagreements about this subject a little bit, but this is a man who has a point of view, and he deserves to be heard, and you get to decide for yourself. I bet there would be lots of things to agree with as well, but let's let him have his say. His name is Adrian Kubicki. He was born in Torun, Poland. He's a diplomat, sociologist, expert in public relations and communication, former journalist, and spokesperson of LOT Polish Airlines. Welcome so much, Adrian Kubicki, to the show. Good to have you here on Spouting Off.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. So a lot of people have heard that Poland has been engineering or sort of commandeering, I don't know if I'm using the right word here, of green lighting, I guess, the funding for the war in Ukraine on behalf of Ukraine. And so Poland is doing a lot to help raise money for Ukraine. Why don't you just take it from there and help us get an idea of what's happening there?
Sure. So I think engineering would be a good term, but not to seeking for the financing of the war, but for Ukrainians to defend from the Russian invasion. The war that Ukrainians did not desire, the entire world, basically, regardless of the side of the politics, were warning Russia from not doing that step forward for not invading Ukrainians, and they decided otherwise anyway. No one can understand what is the real purpose of that. But we know that the Ukrainians are true fighters. They're defending their own country. And Poland is right there at the very forefront. Actually, it's at our doorstep, which gives us, first of all, a big concern about the end result of it. If, for instance, Russia was successful with their initial plan and was able to actually take over the Ukraine, what could have come next? So that's the first concern. But the second concern is that Polish expertise that some of other countries might not have, because we're right there, and we know Russian objectives very well, and we also learned it hard way looking throughout the 200 years of recent history of Poland, you'll see plenty of attempts of Russia in all the forms that Russia had in the previous centuries. The attempt of restoring or rebuilding or growing the Russian Empire. So that Russian imperialism is not particularly a Ukrainian problem or a Polish problem, but I think it's a global problem for anyone who believes that democracy is something that we should value. And again, it's about the nations to actually decide on whether they want to be on the democratic side of the free world or part of some other structures. But Ukrainians were very vocal that they want to be a part of Europe, they want to be a part of Western world. So as Poland, so as other Western European countries, so as finally United States of America. And, you know, if we don't stop Russia in Ukraine, it's really hard to predict how far they could possibly go.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kubicki. I am glad to use the word global interest, because there are charges against Vladimir Zelensky that he is indeed a globalist, and that there are a lot of Nazi interests and globalist Marxist interests in Ukraine. I might as well give you the third one that I hear often, and we in America don't have a lot to go on, but these are the things we hear because our media right now is 100% four square in favor of Ukraine and giving as much war material as they possibly can. And Ukraine, a lot of people believe that U.S. is conducting a proxy war with Russia using Ukraine as a pawn. What do you say to those objections that people have? Because, you know, you're knowledgeable about it and you have a point of view.
First of all, let me say that this is the beauty of democracy and the free world, that everyone can have their own opinion. I bet that people in Russia actually cannot. So that's the first point I want to make. And that's exactly what this war is about. I think that any forms of associating Ukrainian government, Ukrainian administration, with any form of totalitarians, Nazis, or whatever you call it, it's a step taken too far. But even without going into this discussion, what the government itself stands for, is there any other choice? Is there any rational choice leaving Ukraine alone, given what we're trying to say, that our expertise says very firmly that this war will not going to end in Ukraine, it will go farther. It's only the matter of how easy target Ukraine would be. And we know it's not, thankfully, to bravery of Ukrainian people, but they also cannot fight without the equipment. They cannot fight without money, easily put. So even without going into trying to understand or judging the Ukrainian government, is there any other choice? You know, Poland is right now ruled by a conservative, fully conservative government. We understand that we have our differences with our Ukrainian friends and with the Ukrainian administration. And in the normal circumstances, we're probably having these conversations. But in the meantime, there are people dying out there. And we really believe that they're fighting for the freedom, not just for Ukrainians, but for at least the Central Europe, which we know it's crucial in terms of the global security because it's the actual eastern flank of NATO. Now, if you look at the previous years and the previous leadership of Poland, late President Lech Kaczyński, who, by the way, in a very, let's say, strange circumstances, died in the plane crash in Smolensk in 2010. He was in Georgia when Russia was attacking Georgia. And he was in Tbilisi in the Georgia capital, and he was saying exactly that it's first Georgia, then Ukraine, and then even eventually Poland, and who knows what else. Do we want to have a Cold War reinstated? Do we want to have Russia empire reinstated. This might be somehow an obstructive concept for people living their life in America. But then we have politicians and people who have to make decisions that are looking a little bit more ahead. And I think this is all about. We're trying to explain that this war is actually closer to the lives of ordinary American people than we might think initially.
Yeah. Well, there is certainly no doubt that the Ukrainian people have borne the brunt of this war. A lot of people believe that, you know, the everyday people always do. And the war against political forces is something that they didn't ask for and weren't a part of. From where you sit, have you seen any changes? What do you see that has Russia changed any since the old Soviet Union? Can we accuse it of being the same Russian bear, the imperialist kind of entity from the 50s and the 60s and Khrushchev? In what way, in a short way, it's hard to ask such a big question of you, but how do you see Russia as having changed at all, Russia?
Well, I mean, it has a different name, it has a different tag on it, but I think eventually this is the same mentality of people who could never actually adjust to the idea that Soviet Union has actually collapsed. There are probably a lot of internal problems in terms of the condition that people live in all across Russia, because we have to remember it's not only Moscow, it's not only big cities on the western part of Russia. But this is a huge country driven by different dynamics. It's definitely the corruption is definitely the problem there. And obviously to handle that, it's not the easiest thing to do for Mr. Putin and whoever else is around him and makes the decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think that this imperialism comes from the fact that you have to kind of give people objectives and then create the enemies, and for the price even maybe to even start the global conflict, which again, it was against the logic to start that war from the Russian perspective, but yet they decided to do it. So that might be even kind of proving the scale of the internal problems that are actually there in Russia. The problem with Russia is why it hasn't changed that much since the past 30 years, 40 years. The problem with Russia is that without free media, without access to proper information all across the country, and also with local governments there in deep Russia being corrupted, that makes people, I guess, indifferent. Indifference is probably even bigger problem than people who actively support Putin. We still don't have that mass of people that will eventually go on the streets and actually object to some of the ideas of the government in Kremlin, like we had in Poland in the 80s, where there were people who actually stood up and decided that this is enough, basically, and we want to have the system to be changed. We don't have that in Russia, and we don't see that in any feasible future to change. Maybe, and we hope for that, the dynamics of the war will finally Russia might decide or eventually realize that this is just senseless and
Mr.
it doesn't bring anything good.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, finish your sentence. I'm so sorry.
We hope that they will realize that this war is senseless from their standpoint. It doesn't bring anything new, or it doesn't bring anything better for the Russian people. On the contrary, people are dying also on the Russian side.
Yeah, which is terrible. It's fair to ask you the question that I asked you about Russia having to do with America, because during the Khrushchev days in the 50s and the 60s, Americans on both sides of the political aisle, Democrat and Republican, were very anti-communist. I mean, John F. Kennedy was an anti-communist, and, you know, and most everyday Americans were too. Now you've got pro-communists openly in our government, including a whole lot of censorship, which you brought out at the beginning of this conversation. So this isn't quite the America that we remember either. I wonder if you'd comment on that, and then I want to give you, oh gosh, we only have a couple minutes, to tell everybody how they can find you and follow you.
It will be very brief comment, since I don't feel in a position to comment on the internal situations of America. But what I can tell you, I think that the United States of America was exemplary in terms of how they kind of pushed back this growing communist agenda. And it was actually a phenomenon that communism never planted roots in this country. And I believe and I hope and I pray that this will be the case also these days.
We share that hope and prayer. Absolutely. We're on the same side. And Poland has been exemplary itself in fighting communism. And you have a proud, proud history on that front, being a Jewish person, remembering the Warsaw Ghetto, and a whole lot of instances in which Polish people stood up and said, we want liberty. Tell everybody how they can find you and learn more about what Poland is doing to help the Ukraine.
Thank you very much. You can look up our post, Polish Consulate in New York City, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and me personally as well. I'm on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. My name is Adrian Kubicki, and I encourage you to follow us and learn more. And I wish myself to have more such a pleasurable disagreements as I had with you today.
You know what? That's what's missing in America right now, Adrian, is the idea that just because you disagree on certain points doesn't mean the other person is evil, is terrible, or that you should shut them down. You know, I am glad you pointed that out, because that's what we try to do here on Spouting Off, because that is probably the most precious of principles in America, is that the right to disagree, the right to dissent, and it is fading away in this country, the notion that ideas are dangerous, but violence isn't. We got to remind people it's the opposite, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. And your name is pronounced Kubicki, right? Even though it's spelled like Kubicki?
It's Kubicki, but I'm used to all the forms of pronunciation. So okay. However you feel comfortable, I'll know it's me.
Okay. Well, I just want to let our listeners know how it's pronounced. It's Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, how it's spelled, rather. And K-U-B-I-C-K, pronounced Kubicki. Very good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
We so appreciate you being with us. And that indeed is the whole idea of talk radio and of discussion and debate. That's why I love doing this job. And we must preserve the respectful disagreement that says, let's talk about this. We don't always have to agree. It's okay. We're entitled to our opinions. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on Spouting Off. We'll have another episode Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, as well as another one on Friday. Stay well, keep speaking out, and spouting off.